busy day in our community. But there's a story. There's a story we have been monitoring from, I think it's been almost a month, up in Electric Forest. A young man went missing, and he was there with his friends from Illinois, and the police found him in the woods hanging from a tree. And the preliminary report from the police, they ruled it a suicide. And so you've been seeing the justice for Jay hashtag because the family is still searching for answers. They're not sold on it being a suicide. And so we reached out to them because they're in Illinois. We're the closest to Rockberry. And we too feel like, you know, we need to get some more information on this. Don't be so quick to rule it a suicide. So on the phone line, we got his stepfather, Sean Phillips, and his auntie, Ms. Neal, on the phone line. How y'all doing today?
Hi. Doing good.
Well, welcome to the show. Mr. Phillips, I'll start with you because you, stepfather for Jay. What has this past month been like for the family?
Hard. You know, we're taking it day by day, one day at a time.
Well, what can you share with the community? What can you share so far? Why do you feel that this might not be suicide?
Well, we know our son. He loved to live life and enjoy it. And suicide was never on his mind. He was a great son, a great friend. Just having a good time for a normal 28-year-old. And our bond and relationship was pretty close. So we'd like to know that we know where his head was at for a 28-year-old.
There were some things that you told me throughout this, your investigation, a family investigation, that raised some red flags. What are some of those things?
Well, for us, what initially raised a lot of red flags was when we were initially informed that our son was missing and had left his other group of friends. When we got the call from one of the friends, we had to kind of go in parent mode and say, hey, what happened? Was there any disagreements? Like, we know pretty much the majority of the group, they have been to our house for numerous celebrations. So to get notified like that by them was just not what we expected. So what they had told us from the original story, which really raised our red flag, we know our son, he's directionally challenged. He never leaves his phone. His phone is his lifeline. He did not leave any phone or keys. When talking to them, they stated they took his phone and keys. And we were like, why? You should not take our son's phone. And furthermore, what we found out, they act like they didn't know how to contact us, but they had his code to be able to get into his phone, and we should have been one of the first set of people that was contacted.
Wow. Wow. Ms. Neal, what can you share about your nephew?
Well, to add on to what he said, why one of the reasons that we're sure he didn't do this, Jay, he talked his friend out of suicide before. He didn't believe in that. You know, from conversations with him, he thought things like that was a sign of weakness. So that was one of the things that we like, when we hear the word suicide, we're like, not Jay. And as he said, you know, from what I gathered, one of the friends, the quote unquote best friend, what he said on his post, you know, he put up a post and said on the 29th of June, that his best friend went missing and he seemed to be having some mental breakdown and this, that, and the other, and that he filed the missing persons report. So I'm kind of going off of that too as well. So they ended up, that was June 29th, 10 a.m. that morning. That evening, one of the friends, because, you know, Gerard's mother called and said, when are you guys bringing my son's phone, since y'all took his phone and couldn't find him? And they end up bringing a phone over, I want to say maybe 9:30 or 10:30 at night. So one thing to me was, your best friend is missing. You guys are in another state. You got his phone and you left. Why are you guys there searching for him? I mean, why? It, the same day you came back. And then on June 30th, the police officers show up at his parents' door saying that he's been found dead. So we're like, wait a minute, hold on. And never said anything about suicide, that if I'm not mistaken, the words were, he's been found dead and it appears to be no foul play, but we're still investigating. It's early in the investigation. So at that point, we need to look in his phone. We need to see his last calls and everything. And one of the first things that raised the red flag for me is, we get notifications that in his phone, we see someone was trying to log into his bank account at 12 o'clock.
Wow.
Well, based off the friend's post that said they last time they seen him at 10 and they had the phone, who's trying to log into his bank account? On top of that, we saw another alert for somebody trying to log into his credit report. And this is all like 12 in the afternoon that same day. Who's trying to log into his credit report? Then we saw a purchase at a gas station using an Apple Wallet. Well, you have to have the phone. So it's like, wait a minute, what is going on here? You know, and it was stuff like that that initially just started me to be like, and I'm not accusing anybody, but it's like, hey, what else did they say? They just said he was missing and, you know, and all this stuff is going on or whatever. And just for me personally, I know if it was my best friend and he went missing and say, okay, we did leave him, we made a bad choice and we left and we came home. Once I found out they found him dead, I'm coming over there to the parents' house and, you know, I'm mourning with them and I'm crying. And I'm like, where are these? So she just dropped the phone off. It's just like things were just standing out to me. And I'm like, well, has anybody talked to him? And I hear, you know, all of these messages and everything about, oh, well, the family doesn't want to talk. That's not true. I was there on day one. I'm waiting on people to come to the door and say, no, let me explain. This is what happened. This is where we was. So those were the things that were just standing out to me at that time.
Wow. Wow. On the phone, the family of Jared Jackson, they're seeking answers. What about the communication with the police department? What has that been like?
Non-existent. We've shared any and all possible information we could with them. And it was just no true communication going back and forth. We was just simply stated that, we're still looking into it, but from what they're looking into, they're still ruling it a suicide. And that was the last information I got from the detectives, even after we told him of more recent discoveries. Because like I said, not only was we got his phone back, and there was just a lot of issues piggybacking off what, you know, the auntie said. One of the first things we asked was there an argument? Was there any disagreements? And we were told, no, that is not true. One of their friends that was in the camp, Justin, texted one of their other friends, Marissa, and he clearly told her there was an argument in the group and that Jay had left. So again, that raises red flags to us, like why so many changing stories and untruths as we really dig into it.
Well, can you describe what the coroner said, or describe the condition of his body, how they found him?
Well, we learned from the coroner. He told us the details. I had to ask him, and you know, he said, I'm sorry to inform you that your son was found hanging from a tree.
Well, one second, brother. Allow me to interject real quick. Keep in mind, the police, the detectives, they were not the first to relay to the family that it was a suicide. The coroner actually told my brother that it was a suicide. And we're like, suicide? What? So we Google and we see a news article. So we're wondering, wait a minute, how are we being told that there's no information, is being under investigation, but the news outlets have been told that, oh, it appears to be a suicide. And then so this whole narrative, I'm listening, I'm paying attention. I'm like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. He had an episode. Now he found suicidal, you know, and hunger. And I was like, this is not, I don't like how it smells. It's not going right. And then they didn't tell him, because every time my brother reached out, it was getting voicemails or sometimes not getting answers. But the coroner that he spoke to, the first coroner you said, bro, right, was very nice. And that was the one who told you, I can't remember his name, but I remember he's the one who actually told you that they found him hanging from a tree. We didn't know nothing about that.
That's correct. So that was really hard for us to find out that way.
And it was a tree that was like not near a road of anything, right? A tree that a space.
No, it was about, if I'm not mistaken, they said a little bit, almost a mile in off the road. There was a pathway, and then maybe 100 something feet away from that pathway is where they found them.
So you would really have to know the area to kind of like go there.
That's what we're hearing you would.
I received the message because since I've kind of been just raising awareness and just like, I just want the family, we just want a thorough investigation done. We don't want this to be just, because if things are sticking out to us, and we're no police or detectives or anything, if these little things are sticking out to us, I think it's enough to raise, you know, raise the idea of like, let's look into this a little bit more, to get some answers, to do some more interviews, to look for some more witnesses. Because ever since I made a first post saying that we're seeking, you know, answers and we want a thorough investigation, I have received so many messages and inboxes. And, you know, I try to use my spirit of discernment and go through which ones I think may be legitimate or, you know, valuable. And I've been getting a lot of messages from local residents, you know, sending their condolences, showing their support. And one message that stood out to me was one person, they said, well, I grew up in that area, I'm from that area, and from the road that I'm hearing that he was found on, that's not a road that you would stumble on. You would have to know about that road over there. And I'm like, really? Yeah, that's not something, you would have to know that area to know that that road was over there. Again, this is stuff I feel like the officers or the people who are in charge of the investigation, you can relay that stuff to us. We, you know, this road, you know, it's just so many questions. Like, how was he was in the tree. Okay. What made you come up with he hung himself? Because don't tell me because you just saw him hanging from a tree. Was there a ladder there? How did he get up there? Was it a belt? Was it rope? Don't, you know, it's, you can see somebody hanging from a tree. They don't mean they got up there themselves.
Exactly.
So what did you see to say, to put out a preliminary suggestion that this thing appears to be a suicide? It's especially when you have a grieving family over here who want answers, and we're finding out stuff like that. It would be much appreciated for the law officials who are here to protect and serve for us to say, this Mr. and Mrs. Phillips, I got this under control. We're investigating. Don't listen to those rumors, or just something to say that, you know, we think that, you know, preliminary, you know what I'm saying? We're saying that prematurely. Let me say that we're saying this because we found this and we found that. We're just trying not to give out too much information, because we'll give the family something so that we can trust that you are doing your due diligence in investigating this matter properly. Because right now it makes us feel like it's not being investigated properly.
Well, go ahead, Big Rob.
We're getting more answers, things that we're just finding out on our own. And, you know, we don't want to break the law. We don't want to accuse people. All we can do is turn the information over to the authorities. Right. So when people reach out to me and they say they know something, okay, if you have some information, please reach out to the authorities and give them that information. Please do that.
Go ahead, Big Rob.
Now, you said something about the first coroner. There was two coroners?
From my understanding, I spoke to three different coroners.
Three different ones.
And to shine a little light on this, to why, again, we're we just want to see the answers. Is after I spoke to the first one, like I said, he was nice, assured me that everything would be taken care of, you know. And then as we as a family came together, because we knew we had to make some arrangements to get him back, when I reached out, there were no answers to that phone. And then finally, we got another coroner who said he took over the case. And that was just strange. I relayed that information to the funeral home. They did not even want to talk to the funeral home at that time. The funeral home then called me back, and I had to call them and say, hey, this is who we chose. All this information was already taken when I spoke to the first coroner. And then he proceeded to say, we had no next of kin and no information. And that completely was like, what? That's not possible. So I then told him, you have every right and permission. I'm giving you authorization to deal with our chosen funeral home so we can recover our son's body. Please talk to them and make the proper arrangements. They talked to our funeral home. They made the proper arrangements. We set it up to retrieve our son's body the next day. Already set from where the body was at with the coroner, and the funeral home called and said he was moved an hour and a half away. And we're like, who authorized that? We already made the pickup, the agreement for the pickup, and there's no reasoning why that happened. Wow. We were given no answers to that.
Wow. So every step of the way, every step of the way, you have been met with, outside of the first coroner, which is Dean Rossner. I had a chance to talk to him. He was a former sheriff here in Muskegon County. I have talked to him today. Outside of that, your interaction with law enforcement and with people there, Electric Forest and Rothbury, hasn't been too good then.
Correct. It's been horrific.
Horrific. What do you think the community can do? Should we call the police department? Should be a movement to, like, Electric Forest? Have they talked to you? Have they reached out to you guys?
Electric Forest, I get, like I said, I get a lot of email messages, and I got a couple of email messages from people, I guess they say they're part of the organization or whatever, who throws the events, and they're saying they want to support. They send their condolences. They want to support. They want to start if we need funds for, you know, I guess, arrangements or whatever, and they say that. But then every time somebody goes and posts something on the Facebook page, it gets deleted. So now I'm like, okay, is this really somebody from the Electric Forest organization that's supporting and trying to get this out? Or is it somebody else saying this, you know? And because why every time we do post something to the page, it gets deleted? Again, I just, it's hard for us to trust. We want to be able to, like I said, get the answers that we're seeking. If you want the family to accept that Gerard hung himself, I need you to prove to us why that's your final answer. Don't just tell me you found him hanging in a tree and, oh, you know, the family, they're in denial. No, that's not it. We're willing to accept it if you investigate and let us know why that is the final answer to what you're finding. But right now, again, all we get is, well, it's still being investigated. So at this point, we're just really waiting. And like I say, we just want a thorough investigation. We want if I'm getting all these people reaching out, so many people that attended, that worked the festival are reaching out, saying they saw my nephew that morning, saying that he was smiling. He was always in a good mood. They were greeting him. I remember that guy. Oh, yeah, happy guy. One person in particular told me they saw him and they was like, I read the post saying he was having a mental breakdown. He didn't look like nothing was wrong. He spoke to me every day, smiling every day. And if anybody knows Gerard, like the people who know him, he kept a smile on his face. Those pictures you see him, he wasn't just smiling for those pictures. That's exactly how he looked all the time. I can't even recall when I would see him mad or angry about anything. So when these strangers tell us this, I know they've seen my nephew. When they tell me, oh, he was happy inside, that's how he was always. Very respectful, very mannerable.
Question.
Raised very well. His mother and father raised him very well. So when they say that about my nephew, I know they're telling the truth.
Question. The friends he were with, was he the only black in this group? Were there more?
Yes.
He was the only black in his group. And how many of them was it? How many of them was it?
I want to say, if I think 7 total.
And do you know if the police has questioned them on the oath? Or question them as part of an investigation?
No answers to. No. But what we have solved from posts is that some of them were saying that the police have not reached out and spoke to them. And then later they say, well, they did. So it's like, if you said you had already took a statement from them and you reached out to them, they're contradicting what you told me when I spoke to you. And that's why it's like, we need a little bit more transparency here.
Wow. Well, on the phone line, the family of Jay Jackson, they're seeking answers. It's been, what, almost a month, right?
Yeah.
And still no definite ruling from, and I talked to the prosecutor up there, and they told me that they haven't received a request for criminal charges against anyone. And maybe the investigation is still going on, that they do know that a lot of resources have been redirected towards the baby that was found deceased there at Lecture Forest. But he said he hasn't had any communication with the state police since that matter. And so I'm lost at words, you know, because what you guys have not been given too much of anything. And some families might have to get a private investigator to really try to get some answers, unfortunately. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to add to exactly what you were saying. As far as getting the private investigator and doing our own autopsy and everything, one of the things that my brother forgot to mention, remember when he spoke to the actual funeral home that we got to get him, which we had to, like you said, we had to go through some things. We had to reach out to a funeral home in Detroit, Michigan, that was closer, make arrangements to get him. And when they finally got him and we get him back this way, they tell us that, you know, well, hey, I'm going to just say this. I've been in this business and he's decomposed. And it's, I guess, insinuating, I don't know, I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but was he even stored properly? Why is he that badly decomposed? Like, it's those kind of, we just want answers to those kind of questions. What, you found him, how long was he out there? Like, or did you guys at the funeral home just did not hold him? He already done bounced from this funeral home, from the corner to the funeral home to another funeral home. I mean, it's just stuff like that that we just really, really, we just sitting back like, We don't know.
Right.
And we the family. We should have more. We should have more answers than that. I feel like they're not putting the resources towards this. Like, Jay Matter too. He had a family. He was somebody. He was loved. Exactly. We want answers. We don't want to point the finger at nobody, but we want you to investigate, because if it was some foul play going on up, then we want justice.
Wow.
But if you want us to accept that ruling, use the resources and do the job that's supposed to be done.
Have the family, have you guys set up like a Facebook page or anywhere where the people can contact you? If they have information, please share that. And I got some comments. I got some online comments I want to read online. Alicia Joyner said, my friend was a happy person. The word suicide was never in his vocabulary, period. Justice for Jay. Nadia Hampton, watching us on YouTube, say, I hate my friend is going through any of this. This is ridiculous. Alicia Joyner said, big, bright smile. Very much loved. Speaking of Jay, do you have a Facebook page or a GoFundMe page or anywhere where the community can communicate with you?
As of now, I've just been using my Facebook page, but I think I'm going to make a page specifically for this campaign, for what we're fighting for. And then I'll share that as soon as possible. I'll share it on my Facebook page, which I make all the posts public in regards to Jay and what's going on. But right now, that's where I'm sharing all the information, and I kind of just tagged, you know, my brother in it and other family members.
All right. Karen Michelle said, very respectful, wonderful, happy young man. Miss Sinclair said, Jay had this beautiful smile from a kid. Go ahead, Big Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys have put a phone number out, maybe if they have information, they can call somebody or whatever. I know here in Muskegon, you can call 231-72-CRIME. That's Silent Observer if you have any other information. But is there any way they can contact the family besides Facebook? Maybe a temporary phone number or something.
Or email.
Or email.
Right now, we don't even have that, but I can, as soon as I get off this interview, I can set that up.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Justice for Jay, Facebook page, you know?
Yeah. Justice for Jay.
We'll keep the conversation going, and my condolences out to you, Mr. Phillips. This is your son. And from talking to you earlier, I know how this, you know, could have impacted your family, and to you, Latoya, this is your nephew. And this festival, this last year, this year has not been a good year for this festival. And it's so sad to know that your nephew went through this, and we hope the family get answers and get some closures. Anything you want to share? If the police were listening right now, Latoya, what would you say to the police?
I would just say, you know, I would just like you guys to use your resources, do a thorough investigation, and make us understand and believe why you consider this a suicide. Because we don't want to point the finger at nobody. We don't want to, you know, accuse anybody, but we just want you to do your due diligence and put in the work and find out what happened.
Mr. Phillips, if Jay friends are listening right now, what would you say to them?
Simply put, be more transparent and honest, and there will be justice for Jay. And to piggyback off my sister, to if the police were listening, I would beg and plead you to please treat this case, our son, as if he was one of your own family members.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Anthony just commented, we need justice for my little brother. Man, I just talked to my brother the day before all of this. This is so sad. Jay was loved by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind, before we go, a little background about Jay. What city is Jay from?
Jay is with us. He's from Hingry Grove, Illinois. That's the current resident that he resided with us. And as others have said, beautiful person, just lit up the room. His smile stated everything. No words were needed. You know, our son would give you the shirt off his back. He was kind-hearted, loving, and unfortunately, he just trusted the wrong group of friends.
Wow. All right. Thank you. We'll keep in contact. And I know it took a minute for you to reach out to us. You was going through a lot, and you know, we're here standing by if you need us again, Miss Neal and Mr. Phillips. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow. Wow. Family. If you are at Electric Forest, and I know we had a lot of people from Muskegon that was there.
Do we?
Yeah. I mean, we had several staff was there. If you know something, maybe you can share something with the family.
Yeah.
And because they what I've talked to them off the air, Rob, the investigation seemed like they're not making it a priority.
And who's investigating? The Sheriff's Department or State Police?
Okay. State Police is in charge of the Electric Forest. They have a contract with AEG. That's their jurisdiction.
Hmm.
And so all the crimes within that area are investigated by the state police. And I don't think personally, based on what I tell, I don't think they're giving a lot of credence into investigating this as a crime. Mm-hmm. They're putting a lot of resource into finding the mother of the dead baby.
Right.
Not so much resource into this, and both lives matter. And right. So We hoping that the alarm could be sound, and they would give Jay the same amount of time you know, because there are some, you're talking about somebody, me and you go to Electric Forest and I leave, and we are Muskegon.
Right.
I wouldn't dare leave you out there. You sure, you missing. I'm finding you.
Yeah, we're gonna find
you. I'm not making a phone call to your wife talking about, I don't know, I'm leaving Robinson. No.
He wandered off.
He wandered off. No, nah. we come together, we leave together.
Yeah, we're leaving together.
Yeah, this is not a one way ticket. Even if we upset, you get upset with me, won't talk on the way back.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you're going back home.
I'm getting, I'm you, dropping you off where I picked you
up. If I had
to
hit you with the hammer upside your head and drag you in this car, you're going back home. But the fact that they didn't do that, what kind of friends would leave you in this big old, what, 180,000 people?
Yeah.
And you have his phone and somebody's using his phone?
Yeah.
While he's missing? And leave and go back to Illinois? It would be on my conscience. I don't care if I had to go to work. Yeah. I don't care. You dial one in, you dial it in for that week until you find that person.
Right.
That makes something don't smell right.
Yeah. And it makes you feel that way. And to be honest, it should make you feel that way. If you go somewhere as a group of friends, then you make sure everybody gets back.
You make sure everybody gets back.
And I mean, especially if you're out of town, you know, and stuff like that, you know, it's, yeah.
And here's the flip side. Especially if you saying he had a breakdown.
Yeah.
If you're your friend and I'm saying Rob is flipping out up here.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility to get Big Rob back to his domain.
Right. Even if I am flipping.
Even if you're flipping out, that's when you need me most.
Right.
So that part really just don't, it just don't add up.
It don't add up. It don't smell right. You know, and then to hear that they said his body was just way too decomposed. I don't know when he went missing or how long he was out there in that heat.
That
I don't, we don't know.
We don't know. I think it was about a day or so. I think after the festival ended, they found his body.
Yeah.
So maybe he'd been missing a day or two. But man, friends don't leave friends. We don't do one ways.
No.
On a round trip.
Especially out of town.
Nah.
Especially out of town.
So that right there. And what's problematic is that we have seen the black man with a bunch of white kids, white men, go somewhere far away from their home and don't return.
Yep.
This is not new to us.
No, it's not.
We're seeing it. Not saying that all of them are bad.
Yeah.
But we've seen what happened up in Petoskey.
Yeah.
We've seen what happened in Mississippi.
Yeah.
We've seen what's happening here. This is not new.
No. Not at all.
All right.
103.7 WVS Severn Muskegon, Muskegon Heights.
Yeah, WVS LP 103.7 Severn Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. But you tried.
Yeah, I tried to get it in there, bro.
We still got time. We got time. It's coming up next. Station ID is coming up next. Muskegon, thank you for rocking with us. We'll be right back. Keep here this afternoon, James.